Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to better cricket. Wherever you are, whoever you are, we're here to help you out for a little while. And who are we? Well, my name's David Hinchliffe. I look after things here. And helping me to help you are two very fine cricket coaches. The first of which is the director of cricket at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Gareth. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm actually on my holidays for 3 days, which has been nice. I've done absolutely nothing. And I've done plenty of gardening and lots of walking the dog. And it's been very good indeed.
Yeah, just sort of put that brain into neutral mode for a while and relax the muscles and get ready for more chaos to come, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The shoulder is feeling very much more refreshed than it was this time last week, so all good.
Well, there'll be people saying, well, school cricket now, that's pretty much finished, so you've got nothing to do now until next summer. Just you're on easy street now.
Well, and in many ways they would be right. So, I've got a bit of cricket to watch over the next few days. I'm going to pop into the England-South Africa Test match over the weekend, which I'm looking forward to. And then Bunbury Festival next week, which is the regional festival in the UK, which I always look forward to. And then I've managed to sneak some tickets for the Women's World Cup final. So I've got a good cricket watching mode over the next few days, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, sounds very good. Secondly, it's the head of cricket performance at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers. You've got some slightly different plans coming up, have you?
Yeah, I'm about to head off on Saturday morning to Hong Kong for 4 or 5 days, then on to Australia with the school, which would be great fun and a fantastic experience for them. So we've got two and a bit weeks of various sporting events that we'll be getting involved in, and also a few we're going to watch as well, which should be fantastic for the kids and it'd be great fun for us as well as staff.
Fantastic. Where are you going down under?
Heading from Hong Kong into Sydney, and then we will be making our way from Sydney east all the way around to Brisbane, when we'll be then flying back from Brisbane. So, we've got about 13 days in Australia. I think 12 days in Australia and 4 in Hong Kong. So plenty of time to have a bit of a look around. 4 or 5 fixtures in various or in each of the various sports. Which is not cricket. I'm travelling as an assister and a tourist, basically. So it should be good fun for me.
Yeah, fantastic. And you know, it's always a good experience seeing different countries and different sports. And I'm sure there's little things that you'll be able to take from it, which you can bring back into cricket for sure. But even if you just go and enjoy it, it's got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, there'll be loads I'll pick up. There'll be loads of different ways of looking at things and preparing and. Great to see a bit of hockey, a bit of netball and a bit of rugby up close again, which is always I think it's really stimulating to watch different coaches perform in different sports and just also to have loads of conversation about it, about why they do things their way in their sport, and it creates some really good conversations. So hopefully there'll be plenty of that and a bit of watching cricket and a bit of downtime. Not watching cricket, sorry, watching rugby and a bit of downtime.
Let's answer a couple of questions now, and the way that this works is that there's questions sent into the show by either listeners to the show or readers to the Pitch Vision website at pitchvision.com, and we pick out a couple of questions that have been sent in, do our best to answer them, and then give the best question of the week a prize, which is an online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. For future shows, you can send in your questions to us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com or you can contact us through social media, which we'll tell you about towards the end of the show. And the first person who has sent in a question this week is Akshat. And Akshat says, I'm a 17-year-old medium pacer. I have a good seam position and swing, but my pace is around 110 kilometres per hour. I've researched a lot on Ian Pont and seen his videos. I'm working on 410 pegs, but my pace is not improving. Can you please give me some tips to increase my speed? It's a classic one, but we haven't covered it for a while, so I was thinking maybe we can go back over it and see what we can do for our friend.
Yeah, well, lots of things really that we could suggest. I mean, it's very difficult for us to give any specifics without having seen the bowling action itself on video, which we sometimes do with some of these questions. But the four tent pegs is a really good foundation actually for gaining pace. But what I've found working with them and is that certain people really see the benefits very quickly of working with them because they can associate into those static position and then the linkage from one to the next by doing the tent peg drills. And there are other people that don't take to it quite so much because they're people that need more and more momentum for them to feel as if they can get those linkages in. So it may be, and this is based only on my experience because I give it a go with every bowler that we work with, and Dan, more importantly, is my fast bowling coach, does a heck of a lot of this, and we found that a few people need to have more momentum. So the four tent peg stuff, whilst they're in there, once you actually break the action down and you do it frame by frame, some people find it easier to learn those principles with some momentum in their run-up and in their approach, as opposed to breaking it down into those four things in statics and then trying to link them up. So that could be a way that you can go about it. And I think the key thing is to get somebody to video you from a side. And if you get somebody to video you from a side, maybe with a little jog through bowl, and then see how many of those bits of the four tent legs you can actually isolate when you still have the footage at those four points. And then if you see if a few of them are missing, then in the next few bowl throughs, you can really think about one of those things to get into place and make sure that sequencing, which is the crucial element of the four tent pegs, is in place. But have a go at using a little bit of momentum, a little bit of jog through, a little bit of pace in your approach, and see how you go from there would be my first bit of advice. And the thing that we found has worked really well for us at school with some people that haven't taken to the four tent peg approach in isolation.
And just for those who are sort of scratching their head as to what the four tent pegs is, it's of course friend of the show, Ian Pont, fast bowling coach, his method of breaking the bowling action down into four parts, which is when your back foot lands, when your front foot lands, when you release the ball, that's the third one, and then when you follow through, that's the fourth one. And in each of those positions, there's sort of an ideal position, if you like, and then a number of things that might go wrong within each one of those positions. And the idea is, as you said, Gareth, the idea is to break that down and work on those positions in order to build them back up, and then have a technique which allows maximum transfer of speed into the ball using your body, right? Which is pretty much the whole point of bowling fast. So it's definitely a fantastic model to work from, and there's some really good drills. And I think the stuff that Stephen Jones is doing as well, sort of building on that even further, is all very interesting. And in fact, it's so detailed that a lot of it makes me scratch my head and think, oh, I really need to bury my head in some of that, because I feel like I'm missing things. Lavers, how much have you worked around the idea of four tent pegs? How much have you developed it yourself, you know, your own ideas around it? And how much have you used, say, the ideas of people like Stephen Jones, who have sort of taken four tent pegs and run with it even further by bringing in strength and conditioning principles as well?
It's probably quite a big part of what we do. As a base, it's not something we spend sort of time doing every single week, but it's something that we want to create a really big awareness of, so that when we are reviewing people, we can assess whether or not they're achieving these different elements of the action. And I think Gareth gave a really good answer earlier on about whether or not you can do them or not. It's whether or not you hit them in your action that's the key thing. So you don't necessarily need to be able to do them in isolation to be a good bowler. It's whether or not you hit those points in your action and film yourself from side on in a jog through or in a full action, and seeing if you're achieving those things is a really good starting point. And it may be that there are one or two elements of that four tent peg sequence that you need to adjust or manufacture slightly differently to try and get the most out of your action. But once you are looking at that dissembling or taking that bowling action apart, the key bit is that reconstruction of it to take it back to a full run-up and full pace, to make sure the things that you're doing in that sequence of four events are then being retained when you're getting back to the full run-up. And that, again, is a can be done in a simple reverse chaining program where you're going from that static position into the walking, into the jogging, etc. And we're looking for that breaking point of when do I lose quality in what I'm doing from the point of view of those four tent bags. So that's something we do quite a lot, and we refer back to them, even though we don't do hours and hours not upon end of the tent bags. They are referred to a lot, and we do some time committed to those tent peg drills, definitely. So on that kind of thing, I'd say it's a really good reference point to have for coaches and players, and having some understanding of that is only going to make you better. We do have a bit of a crossover into the strength and conditioning side of things, where we do try and have a lot of work which is fairly varied, but all works around the same principle of power development, which can be variations of medicine ball throws, which will be either separating actions again and looking for specific areas to improve, if there is an area that someone needs to improve in the action, whether it is front arm drive or hip drive or completion or whatever it might be. So we will have certain people working on different things, but we're trying to get everyone working on lots of different elements of that, which can be rotational power or slamming med balls or throwing long, or there are lots of different areas there. And also we do a little bit of the isolated stuff, which I know Steph's got into quite a lot looking at the videos he's put online. We've tried that a little bit, and again, some people really like it. So that's when you might find yourself against a wall and you're trying to isolate that hip rotation, hip drive, or possibly you're working with two bands and you're trying to work on the bowling arm drive at the same time as that front arm pull, and things like that. And again, trying to work around that the timing of that hip drive. There are lots of these different ways of approaching things, and some people really like them. And when I say like them, actually really find benefit from them, and others don't find quite so much. So it's going to be about finding the right things and the right exercises or drills or methods of approaching your training for the right person. And the more options we've got, and we come up with a few things along the way, I'm sure Gareth comes up with millions of things over there at and Steph and Ponty obviously have come up with these things, which are fantastic for everyone. So the more tools we've got in our toolkit, effectively, the more options we can give people, and hopefully the more likely we are to find some progression for them whilst they're bowling.
And I guess it's not just about the action as well. I mean, the action obviously very important, but I guess it's also about, you know, how strong someone is, and also I guess the thing that is often not talked about a lot, but is quite important, is the run-up as well, right?
Yeah, and then
yeah, we would
go on. Sorry,
oh,
Sam.
Sorry,
you go, mate.
I was just going to say that that's one of the real big benefits that we're starting to see from that the power development training that we do, is the intent that you put into your power development training, and realizing how hard you can try and throw a ball or whatever it would be, move a weight quickly, or however you want to look at your training. But that intent of power and how much you're committing to generating power, and then trying to transfer that across into how much you commit to your delivery with your run-up, your aggressive run-up on the way through, the way you pull, you drive back your front arm, the way you drive your hips, the way you complete your action, etc. And that commitment to trying to bowl fast is such a big thing. And the first thing you probably need to do really is commit to that. I know some people talk from the other point of view as something, and you can try and bowl too fast, but you've got to have some commitment at some stage in your action to trying to develop some speed.
Next question is from Luke, and it's short, but could be quite an interesting one. Luke says, what do you think about taking an off-stump guard?
Well, I think it's an option. I think what it does is it opens up different sides of a pitch. It's like anything, really. Where you stand relates to how the ball comes into you, and therefore where you can put that ball away. And off stump, people that bat off stump often are strong players straight and strong players through the onside. So the other thing to consider as well with taking guards is where are your eyes in relation to your guard, because you know, some people take guard with the bat between their feet, and therefore an off stump guard would mean that they're probably exposing their leg stump to the bowler, whereas other people that take an off stump guard with the bat outside the line of their feet are likely to have their eyes over the top and middle. So to me, guards are really only about where your eyes are. It's not about where you put your bat, because that is dependent on putting your bat in line with off stump, and then where you place that in relation to your centre of mass and to your eyes. So you know, that's the first thing to consider. It's about where your eyes are. So have a look at where your eyes are when you take off stump guard, and then think, well, actually, is that an appropriate place to be first and foremost? But the other thing, and I think Mark Waugh summed this up better than anybody else, Mark Waugh against spin, for example, in one day cricket could have anything like 9 different guards. And when I say 9 different guards, he'd have off stump, middle stump, leg stump, and everywhere in between those. He'd also take guard maybe if he was looking to knock a ball into square leg on a low bouncing pitch in one day cricket to get a single. Then he'd bat with his back foot on the line on off stump guard, and then he could take as many balls as possible to knock into that gap. Equally, if he's on a very bouncy wicket, then he might want to take the same off-stump guard, but this time with his front foot on the line, which then gives him less distance to get away from the ball bounce in order to access that area. And then equally, you know, moving yourself across the crease using those principles, depending on whether you're looking to get your ones or to play shots that are going to give you boundaries to different parts of a pitch, depending on the bounce of a ball. So, you know, a guard really shouldn't be a static thing. It should be something that moves around, which goes with the game situation, which goes with the conditions, which goes with the challenge of a bowler. You know, for those guys that say that they take middle and they've always taken middle for 25 years, I will say, well, think about those options that you could have opened up for yourself, and think about those runs that you might have left out on the pitch that if you'd just thought about opening up angles a little bit differently. So two things: where is your guard in relation to your centre of mass and your eyes? And the second thing is, can you be a bit more flexible with your guard depending on the match condition and what's in front of you?
I think guard is one of those things that is sometimes used by people as a distraction, and it, as you so eloquently put, Gareth, it is something that you can take advantage of, but often I see people ignore it until they have a problem, and then when they have a problem, they go, right, okay, well, you know, I'm not getting any runs at the moment, I'll just try changing my guard to see what happens. And maybe they can apply a little bit of logic to it at some point, but it's what it stems from really is this kind of, oh no, everything's going wrong, I better change something, rather than actively thinking about it. And I often say to people who talk about changing their guard, I say, well, are you in form or not at the moment? Because if you're out of form, it's probably not the best time to be thinking about it. Going back to the Graham Gooch thing that we were talking about earlier, by saying, I am out of form, so I'll change my guard and that will get me back into form. That's a piece of thinking that I like to challenge with people, and I like to say to them, well, let's think in a little bit more detail rather than maybe just scraping the surface and changing the first thing that you can think of because things aren't going well at the moment. What do you think about that, Lavis?
Yeah, that's almost externalising the blame, isn't it? And it's the guard's fault. It's the guard that's not getting me the runs. If I change the guard, then I'll be okay because what I do works, but maybe I've stood in the wrong position, so the guard is responsible for it. And that's obviously, look, there's going to be times when you change your guard and it actually helps you a little bit for whatever reason, and it might do, but just don't want to go jumping into that and expect having high expectations if it's not really something that's thought through too carefully. So look for where the issues have actually come from, and hopefully if you get someone at your club who's working with you, hopefully that's where you can guide them a little bit and just say, well, yes, the guard might be one thing, but are there any other things? And you might come up with a list of 3 or 4 things that maybe could have some improvement, and following that you can prioritise them and work out where you think you're going to get the most gain from. So rather than looking for a quick fix, you're looking for a good fix, aren't you? Really looking for something that's going to make a real impact, which is what we want as players and coaches. On the guard kind of thing, I generally try and get people moving in a straight line to a straight ball, okay, and hopefully allowing them to play with a full face. Now, you would think that that kind of means everyone's going to start on middle, or it doesn't always work that way. Middle's a pretty good guide, but some people find that different people work in different positions. And very simply put, if you put the end of your toes on middle stump, some people have got size 5 feet and some people have got size 15 feet. So already you've got a bit of variation in there. So middle for us, is a guide, but people will vary around that a little bit. But yeah, that first port of call is for our basic generic go-to starting point is, can I move in a straight line to a straight ball and present a full face, rather than moving diagonally where I'm more likely to present an open face or whatever it might be. However, moving on from that, Gareth spoke about it really well, about the different angles you can create, and I've found that the more kind of 2020 cricket we play, especially for the people who are at a phase in their development where they don't necessarily have that power to just go and clear the infield or clear the ropes or hit the ball out of the park, having that ability to understand your change of angles and how that can impact on where you play the ball and dictate the directions you can hit it and how you can find gaps in the field has become a really, really good kind of addition to the way we think about batting. And there'll be, I could think of one player really clearly in my mind who probably won't have hit a straight six in his life, but has become a really, really effective 2020 player or one day format player or just cricketer in general, just by finding out how we can access the ball or how we can access different gaps in the field just by setting up slightly differently. And it's exactly going through the kind of things that Gareth talks about there with Mark Waugh. It's just trying to, I want to find a gap on leg side, I can just get myself back across in here or forward across in here, or the ball's flying through, I want to back myself to get my cut away when there's an opportunity and I don't have to do whatever. Look, just by moving around and finding different areas, different ways of standing and trying to associate them with different conditions, different bowlers, etc., can have an enormous impact on your ability to score your runs. And as Gareth mentioned before, it's, did you leave any runs out there because you didn't make a decision that maybe would have made you a little bit better and made life a little bit easier? And having that ability to understand that experimentation can make you such a good player.
Yeah, it's even though that word guard is, it seems like a simple thing, and you teach a kid how to take guard on the second session that they come or whatever it is, it's such an early thing. There is a few different approaches you can take to it, and you can look at it tactically, and you can say to yourself, okay, how can I make the most of this? Or you can blame it for something going wrong. You can do lots of things with guard, which it seems very simple and very straightforward and very basic, but if you sort of put your head into it a little bit and think about it a little bit, you can sort of fish out a few different things, different approaches to it, and come up with a way that's going to help you get better from where you are, rather than say solve a problem that you may or may not have. You don't want to use it as a sticking plaster. You want to use it as something that is powerful and effective over a course of a career, rather than just saying, "Oh, I'll very quickly change my guard." So I don't mind what guard people take of it. If it's working for them, go for it. Experiment with it. See what happens. And that is just about all we've got time for on the show this week. We are going to head off in a moment, but before we do that, we need to decide on the winner of this week's competition, the online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. That's what's up for grabs. And the two questions vying for that prize are Akshat's question about bowling faster and Luke's question about guard. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
I quite like Luke's question. We get a lot of questions about fast bowling, but yeah. I like the subtlety of asking the question of batting on off stump, because it opens up a load of discussion and a load of potential options for all batters out there.
Yeah, fantastic. And Gareth, if someone else was listening into the show and they were thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind getting that prize, and certainly wouldn't mind having one of my cricketing problems solved by the crack team here, how can they get in touch with us?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's correct. There's also lots of ways of getting in touch with us through social media. Of course, you can do it through pitchvision.com. The messaging system there is up and running, and you can send a message to Pitch Vision Academy. Follow us there as well. Or you can find us on other social media platforms, like, for example, Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, or Twitter at pitchvisionacad. You can listen to the show every week by subscribing. You can do that pretty easily. Do a search for Pitch Vision Academy in your favorite podcast app. Tap or click on that, and you will get the show every week. It's free. And there's actually some bonus content available as well. If you head over to pitchvision.com and follow Pitch Vision Academy on the social media system there, you can get the bonus content as well. So, well, that's fun to do. And while you're at Pitch Vision Academy, you can also get the show notes for previous shows, or download old shows, or stream old shows directly. You can do that all through the platform there as well. So if you want to get any old shows, or you have any questions that you want answered, you can do that as well through pitchvision.com. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavis.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Cheers, guys.